of the letter to the Romans, where Paul takes on directly the question of what is wrong with us. You know, what, we hate each other, we kill each other, we steal from each other, we're unchaste in our relationship. What's wrong with us? He said it started with the first man who rebelled against God and lost that connection which held him together. And that's what we call original sin. It's the sin at the origin. But you know, we sing at every Easter time, oh, happy fault, which merited for us so great and so wonderful a Redeemer. We're better off. To be sinless and be wandering around is one thing. To be forgiven and have Jesus Christ as our indwelling love, life, brother, that's another. And that's why we sing, oh, a happy fault. You know, some days we don't feel it's like a very happy fault. But it is. Because of the mercy of God. And if we look at our own lives, it's the same thing. I wish I'd never done this, and go on for a week. But the Lord has come. Look, here we are at 7 o'clock or whatever, on a Tuesday morning or whatever day this is. We're here. We just heard these words. We're going to pray to the Father and then receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. What a mercy. But I do, because of today, as I just said, we're celebrating this feast in honor of Blessed John Paul II, who'll be canonized pretty soon now, right? Great. I remember I was leading, what was that? I was the leader, I guess, the teacher or something, for a theological upgrade of the American bishops, and it was being held in Rome. So when it was over, we all went over to see the Pope. Of course, the bishops, I was at the end of the line. So I know that, because I used to teach, I was teaching that at the John Paul II downtown here, and I know that he knew everybody, you know, who's teaching in his institute. So I said to him, when I got up there finally, I said, I teach at the John Paul II in Washington. He said, John Paul II, who's he? It was quite amazing. He was a leader. He's a saint. He's a mystic. But he also is a prophet. And I have a text, maybe some of you read it already, it's in the Magnificat. And I think it's very important for us to grasp this text. So from this point on, John Paul II has taken over the homily. This is Tuesday or Wednesday? Yeah, I put the marker in the wrong place. It's all right, is that not hard to find? All right. Three oh eight. By the way, I've got these lovely pictures of John Paul II putting his prayer request in the crack in the wall in Jerusalem. I had them printed when I was to have the chair of Jewish-Christian relations at the John Paul II Institute. We had a conference, and I got them printed. You should have seen the way all those men wanted to get one of those pictures, all those Jewish men. It was quite beautiful. 308. Hang on. Oh, I marked it. I marked it with a picture of, I don't know if you know Rick Thomas. But anyway, they might canonize him one day. We are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has ever experienced. I do not think the wide circle of the American society or the wide circle of the Christian community realize this fully. How gently he's putting it. You're living on the moon. You got your eyes glued on this TV and the whole world is ready to collapse. And you're supposed to be Christian. Anyway, we are now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between Christ and the antichrist. This confrontation lies within the plans of divine providence. It is therefore in God's plan, and it must be a trial which the church must take up and face courageously. We must prepare ourselves to suffer great trials before long, such as will demand of us a disposition to give up even life and a total dedication to Christ and for Christ. With your and my prayers, it is possible to mitigate the coming tribulation, but it is no longer possible to avert it, because only thus can the church be effectually renewed. How many times has the renewal of the church sprung from the shedding of blood? This time, too, it will not be otherwise. We must be strong and prepared and trust in Christ and His Holy Mother and be very, very assiduous in praying the Holy Rosary. That's what Our Lady's been telling us, you know. I would really encourage you to be informed about the reality of Our Lady of Fatima and say the rosary every day. I think I told you, I'm pretty busy every day, you know. So I finally made up my mind, I'm going to do it first thing in the morning. So I get out of bed a little early because I have to get the homilies ready too, you see. And I say this, say the rosary. I missed this morning because I didn't set the alarms, but I can do it when I go back to my room. But we're living in pretty intense times. I just thought it was worth, though you've nearly all got the Magnificat. This goes out on the air too, I think. Does it? Doesn't this get out someplace on the radio or something? The homily does, okay. So, good. I want everybody to hear this. We are so privileged. It will not catch us unaware if we do what our Lord and Our Lady have told us to do. And it comes down, as this last line of the thing said here, you see, and very assiduous in praying the Holy Rosary. Well, I don't get anything out of it. I don't care. It's not for you, it's for the world. All these neighbors who are worried about their bills and don't know the Lord. It's for them. Anyway, I better quit.